People hurting, people broken, beaten down and feeling hopeless. Wonder if it's gonna always be this way. I will speak up for the captive, show some love and heal the past. That binds the wounds we think will never go away.
My friends, when we pray, all things can really happen. And I'm telling you, folks, the power of prayer is real because, again, like, you know, if we listen to the song, when we pray, you know, all things can happen. And I was looking at a sign I got here on the side of my wall right there. Y'all can't see it, but it's Philippians 4:19. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So, you know, it's a good thing. I'm glad that you're here. It's Friday night, another night to gather in order for another message that was laid on my heart. And this one here is another one that's kind of coming close, and I had to do some digging. As I mentioned last night in the Bible study, you know, the scripture we went over, I had a bunch of commentaries that just hardly had nothing to mention on that scripture. So, you know, I had to start digging deeper to find out what the meaning was. And, you know, and as I started, you know, digging through some of these older books over here, and I got some books on the shelf there. There wasn't much to say on that scripture, but I did mention about, you know, when we pray, you know, we pray with a sincere heart, and a lot of times that when we pray not doubting, because again, if you doubt, I ain't saying if you doubt your prayer is not answered, I don't know, but you know, whenever we come to God, we come to him boldly as Christ tells us to do so. With that, it's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're ready for another wonderful message. Thank you for supporting this ministry. You know, it's not large. It's not a big, you know, bodacious chat room like these other sites are. You know, we're just a small few who just has a place together. That's all. But I want y'all to know something, and I appreciate the prayers. You know, the prayers is real. I feel them. My wife feels them. All of us, I'm praying for each and every one of you by name. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, I do. Everybody here in this chat room, I pray for you by name. Every day. I'm not trying to brag. We're not supposed to boast, whatever, but I do. It's just the way, you know, I lead my life every morning. When I wake up, the first thing I do, I praise God. And then I go to prayer. But I want y'all to know, folks, when writing this message, and I was drinking my morning coffee when I started writing this message, my mind apparently was upon my sister. Many of you know what's going on with the post, with the surgery she's facing and everything else. But my mind was on her, who was facing that brain surgery. And it was either to remove the tumors, because instead of one, they found three. And she had to have that surgery, you know, to see either what options or treatment that she faces in her battle. You know, I hadn't even heard the news yet. I don't know, did they actually remove them? Are they still in there? Are they going back? Or, you know, what? You know, I mean, they're not very forthcoming in information. So I don't know what's going on, to be honest. So, you know, last I heard last night, they finally closed up, and it was a mistake the way the picture was, but they left this whole thing open up there, but they closed it all back up now. The bleeding has stopped. She was in and out, because when you go under anesthesia for several hours and you try to come out, and then they have to bring you back in, wow, you know, that's rough. It really is, you know. So that's all I know. I hadn't heard nothing today, so. But many that I have spoken to, you here in this chat room, many in this town, many at the church, many I see in the store, you know, my daily little routine, many I have spoken to have told me they're praying for her. And many who says that I know, that has talked to me, many who has says to me, I will say a prayer for her. And to me, those who tell me this, when they say, oh, I'm going to pray for your sister, but I know they themselves are not even serving the Lord. And that brought me to a dilemma, folks. It really has. And sometimes, you know, I call it you can call it a crisis of faith. You know, sometimes, you know, in all my studies in the last 17 years, you know, when I come across sometimes something hard that, you know, even though I know what I see what Scripture says or what I feel, I think, you know, like we Christians are exclusive from people around the world. Sometimes I get into a little, what I call my self-debate, I get into a battle. Or sometimes it drives me to almost a crisis of belief that I have to say, well, wait a minute, I got a problem with this, Lord. And he has to deal with me, and I have to start, you know, expounding upon the word. I have to start digging into all translations. I have to start doing some reading. I have to start this, you know, and I have to settle this in my heart. And that's why I'm saying, when many have, I know in town that has talking to me, say, I'm going to pray a prayer for your sister, but they know nothing of Jesus. So this is what drew me to this message tonight, folks. The question came to my mind, those who are not serving Jesus, the question that came to my mind in all of this dilemma, does this mean that God will not answer the prayers from the folks who has not given their lives over to Jesus? Think about that one. Will God answer the prayers from the people who has not surrendered to Jesus? Now, before you even come up with an answer in your mind, I hope that maybe this message will help you understand the answers you may seek. Because at first, I used to say no. Because with those people, there is only one prayer. One, that God will acknowledge, listen to, and answer. And that's those who call upon the name of Jesus for their salvation. But this still raises the question, does God hear their prayers and does he answer them? And as I just said, there's one that he will answer, but does he answer the others? You see, where I'm going with this, I'm trying to get us to think, and it had me thinking, because in light of many other things I've been hearing, but I'm going to be the person, I'm going to stand before you right now, the online listeners who's listening to this audio, I'm going to be the person to tell you yes or no. I'm not going to be that person. Because I would stand here and tell you yes or no. But no, I'm not going to be that person to tell you yes or no. Will he answer those prayers? I'm not. It's not my call to say if he does. You see, to me, folks, and this is what I have poured through, and this is what I have carefully examined in the Word of God, from Old Testament to New Testament, and prepping for this, and seeking the answers for myself. To me, God hears all prayers from everyone. Now, will God answer those prayers? Again, who knows? I am not God to tell you. You are not God to answer that. None of us are God to answer that question. Only God himself can answer that question. So it brings us to this point. So questions we need to ask. Prayers. What does it mean? How should you pray? Are all prayers answered? And does God hear them all? When should you pray? How often should you pray? Most important, prayer is important, and it shows faith in God when we do pray. Now, there are some people who think, and I was kind of leaning along this category, but I had to do a little struggle with my inner self. And there are some people who think that prayers are only for God's chosen people. That's it, an exclusive club. If you're a chosen child of God, then prayers are only for you, not for anyone else. And there are some people who teach that and believe that. I have to be the one, again, not to say yes or no, because, again, I have answered it for myself in this message, and this is why I think you may understand when we are through with it. But many people do teach that, but what I have seen so far in prepping for this, the Bible teaches us. If you're a student of the Word, you should know where I'm going with this. The Bible teaches us, and it makes it very clear, that prayer isn't restricted. The Bible is very clear, my friends, from what I've seen. Prayer is not restricted. It's for everyone. How do I know? I'm going to back this up tonight with scriptures. I'm going to show you in scriptures the Holy Word of God. It's not me saying this. Scriptures is going to be saying this. So if you got your Bibles, and that's why I'm going to tell you, why would I say this? Because again, the Bible is very clear, because in accordance to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, pay particular attention to what it says, because that's what caught my eye, and that's what led me down this journey. See, I used to think it was restricted, but now I'm starting to see things a little bit different according to the Word of God. But look what it says. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I would teach you the good and the right way. Now, if you know the story here in Samuel, he was dealing with a lot of people in that particular time, and a lot of them really did not know God. So why did Samuel say that? See, that's what started my journey with this message. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, we know who Samuel was. If you studied the Bible, he's the one that anointed David. He's the one that went told David, you know, hey, you know, you're going to be a king and everything else, you know. So he was a mighty man of God, but yet he was telling these people that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Now, what he's saying, he's praying for them. But could it be, or are they praying for him too? See? That's why I'm starting to believe it's not restrictive. But here we go in our reading scriptures for tonight. And everything that I've preached to you tonight is backed up by the Word of God. So our reading scriptures is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And look what it says. I love this passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you to meet with us for this short little time. And Father, you know, for some particular reason, this was a heavy message laid upon my heart in light of all the praying that I've been doing, you know, for many people, and especially for my sister and my wife. And Father, I've been talking to many other people who's been doing prayer, and this kind of led me to a dilemma. Do you hear all those prayers? And if you do, do you answer those prayers? I'm not the one that's going to tell these folks here tonight, yes, you do, because that's not my call. You are God. And we know, God, that you do whatever you do. And you know what you're doing. And we're not to question you at times. So I pray to you tonight to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I don't claim to be perfect, and I do mess up, and I keep striving to do right the next time. I'm not here to brag. I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to point to myself. My goal is to point everybody to Jesus, and hopefully they learn more. Thank you for this message. Thank you for leading me here. Thank you for these kind folks who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere, but they decided to show up here to hear this message. And Father, I ask of you to be with them, to anoint their household, to put your arms around them, love them. And even though you already know what they're going to do and not going to do, you still extend the grace. And thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to live today. Tomorrow is not promised, nor are we going to finish today. We don't know. But thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the title of this message, again, you know, I used the automated bot, and I had a person ask me in the room, you know, don't bots lie, people, or they're just programs? Well, they're just programs, but they're tools. The title of this message is, What is Prayer? And, you know, and I never really dug into how, I need to reword this. Let me see. I never really went deeper to consider what is prayer. In my own mind, the way I was trained, brought up, and ministered to by other pastors, I kind of, you know, listened to what them and their messages and their Bible studies and their Sunday school studies, you know, in text reading and everything else about what prayer is. I know the definition of prayer and many other ways of prayer. But, you know, I was thinking, okay, you know, wait a minute, but I want to know for real, what is prayer? And simply put, prayer is conversing with God. That's what prayer is. Not just talking to the Lord, but listening. And, you know, I know a lot of people, when they're praying and praying and praying and pray. One thing that I found very interesting, they pray a lot, but many never listen. You know, I was trying to remember, I can't remember the exact quote in the movie, but it was long ago. You know, one of the, I think he was a captain of an aircraft carrier, says, you know, I find this very puzzling. And the guy asks him, what do you mean? He says, well, I understand. They're actually pinging sonar all over the place. They're dropping all over the place. And they can hear this sister stereo from 200 miles away, but they're not listening. And I kind of get that because it was the movie The Hunt for Red October. They were trying to find October instead, but they were trying to drive the submarine elsewhere by pinging with sonar. But see, that's kind of like what we are in prayer, because we pray, but we never sit still long enough to listen for God to answer. It's like we listen to the volume of the radio wide open, but God's barely talking a little bit, and we can't hear it. Folks, in our prayer life, sometimes we have to learn to be still, to listen for that small, silent voice. So, it's not just talking to the Lord, but listening. Now, the latter is easy. Being quiet before God, that's sometimes easy, but sometimes it's hard. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I start praying, it's like my poor mind is going 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking about this and thinking about that and thinking about this. This is running in. That song wants to play like a loop over and over and over. And I got to say, sometimes it's a hard battle just to pray. And sometimes it's not easy to sit quiet. The farmer is easy as well, saying what's on our hearts. It's easy for us to say what's on our heart, but half the time it's not easy for us to listen. And prayer is not a ritual that you got to do this, you got to spray on perfume, comb your hair, and do all your good things, you know. And you know, I'm going to go sit in my favorite chair every day. I'm going to open up my Bible, lay it on the table, pour me a cup of coffee, give me a little toast, put my little napkin in place, and bow my head and put my hands together. No, prayer is not kind of a ritual, folks. It's not dependent on closing your eyes. It's not putting on holy faces. We don't have to kneel. We don't have to sit. Folks, the fact remains that you and I, we can pray while we're walking, we can pray while we're driving, or we can pray while we're working. We can just virtually pray anytime we want to, any place, anywhere. And God himself can evenly respond just to a two-word cry for help in the middle of a busy afternoon, just like he does to a focused prayer time after reading scriptures in the morning or night, depending on you. Sometimes we don't even have to say a word. You know, the Bible's clear because the groanings of the Holy Spirit, he understands. And sometimes when I go in prayer, you know, a lot of times I'm so distraught, I'm so agonizing over something, I'm having a hard time with something. Sometimes I'm just sitting there, that's how I pray sometimes, and God knows. So it's not some sort of ritual. It's not some sort of program. It's not no step-by-step ABC, folks. Prayer does not have to be complicated. Folks, God delights just in simple words that we offer to him. Jesus himself even taught his disciples and followers that prayer takes persistence. Prayer takes persistence. He taught them to ask, to seek, to knock. And in our message tonight, which is probably going to be an overtime message because I got to feel it coming. In our message tonight, we're going to learn six fundamentals of what prayer means. The first word in prayer is P, for prevailing. P for prevailing. Look what Genesis 32:28 says. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. You see, folks, to prevail means to become effective, to succeed, to triumph. And yes, there are times when we must prevail in prayer, just as Jacob did. And God does things when we pray persistently that he otherwise would not do. Now, before you get all riled up and jump the gun and all that stuff, whoa, wait a minute. You're trying to say by my prayer I can force God to do what I want to do? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying persistent prayer sometimes God will end up granting mercy. Now, does this mean that us being persistent in prayer sometimes will get God to do something that he would not otherwise do? No. We're not forcing him in that prayer, folks. We're not. What we're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do, to be persistent in prayer. Christ told us this. How do I know this? Look what Luke 11:8 says, and it's there in his words. And this is Jesus, what he is saying. He said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So at times, in our persistence, when God answers the prayer, we, listen to this carefully, at times when you and I are persistent in prayers, and when God answers those prayers, we have prevailed in prayers. We have prevailed in prayers. And keep the messages and the questions to the content of this message. Text-related, chat-related stuff. And I please hold that questions for later on because that disrupts the flow of the Holy Spirit. The second word in prayer is R, which is for requesting. R, which is for requesting. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, sadly, some Christians fail to pray as they should until trouble strikes. It's a fact. Sadly, many Christians do not start praying until trouble strikes. Now, we must understand the content here in this passage. And this is a misquoted passage a lot by a lot of Christians. Folks, this passage does not mean that it is a blanket clause in this passage saying that if we pray in this manner, we get whatever we want. That is not a blanket clause for you to get whatever you want by praying a prayer like that. No. What Jesus is telling us here, he is telling us to be persistent in pursuing God. And people often give up after a few half-hearted efforts of prayers and conclude, well, you know what? God ain't answered my prayer, so he's nowhere to be found. Because, see, they read this as, oh, well, it tells me if I ask, it's going to be given to me. It tells me if I seek it, I'm going to find it. If it tells me a knock is going to be open for me. But yet when it doesn't happen, they say, wait, you know what? Then God, you're not there. That's not what the scriptures are saying, folks. See, what Jesus is telling us right here, he tells us to be persistent in pursuing God. And people often, like I said, they give up. They give up. But let me tell you something. Knowing God takes faith. Focus and follow through. And Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded. Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded. That's the fact. Now, does that mean you're going to be rewarded in what you want? No. Because a lot of things I want, does it happen? No. Do I get mad at him and give up? No. My faith tells me he hears the prayers, but the prayers will be answered in accordance to his will, not mine. See, we must often pray daily. We must often ask largely that God, whatever you desire in our daily fellowship with Him in prayer, that you will hear it. And see, God desires us to pray. That's that constant communication. That's that constant, you know, talking, like, you know, what we do in chat, like what we do in real-time mode. But see, God also desires your daily fellowship with Him in prayer, in petition, and praise. He desires that. He wants to see how well your heart is going to be. Which brings us to the third word in prayer, which is A, which is for accepting. Matthew 21:22 says this, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." You'll receive if you have faith. Now, understand this verse, again, does not guarantee that we get anything we want simply by asking Jesus and believing. It does not guarantee that. It doesn't. God does not grant requests that would hurt us or otherwise that would violate His own nature or will. And folks, Jesus' statement is not a blank check to fulfill our requests, because that prayer must be in harmony. It must be in harmony with the principles of God's kingdom. The stronger our belief, the more likely our prayers will be in line with God's will. And then God will be happy to grant them. And many Christians pray often, we do. But they fail to receive from God because they pray for selfish deeds rather than for harmony with God. And we must ask with expectancy, accepting God's blessings by faith in Him and His ways and not ours. That's how we should pray. The fourth word in prayer, which is why, which is for yielding. Look what Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 42 says. "And He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and praying, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And as Jesus was facing the cross, His life was at stake. His life was at stake, but yet He yielded to His Father's will. You know what He said? Y'all should know this. He knelt down and prayed. He said, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." You see what I'm saying with this, folks? As Jesus Himself was facing the cross, His life was at stake, but He yielded to His Father's will. He yielded to His Father's will. So, it's never wrong, and a lot of people used to think it's wrong to do this, but no, folks, because Jesus Himself did it and set the example for us, it is never wrong for us to express our true feelings to God in prayers. It's never wrong. God wants to hear from you. God wants to know what you're saying. So it's never wrong for you and I to express our true feelings to God in prayer. And Jesus exposed His dread of coming trials. He did. But He also reaffirmed His commitment to do what God wanted. Y'all know the rest of the story. If you read it, He said, "Not my will, but let your will be done." The same should be for us. When we pray, we should be wanting God's will for our lives and not what we want or what we think. Prayers will be answered. Burdens will be lifted. Broken homes will be mended, and souls will be won to Christ when you and I yield our will to God's will. When we start coming in harmony, when we start coming in unity, when you start thinking more and letting your heart open up more and your mind's coming more and more in harmony with God's will, folks, I guarantee you are going to see some things and you're going to see some results of prayer. Like I said earlier, many Christians, you know, they got it in their minds, well, if I pray this, it's going to happen. Then when it don't, they get disgruntled, sometimes upset, a little agitated, a little mad. Their prayer life is not just what it's supposed to be because in their mind, well, God, and here's a bad prayer. Well, God, well, I don't think you're going to answer this anyway, but, you know, here we go, you know. If you got that kind of attitude, folks, I'm sorry, but your prayer needs to be yielding to God's will, period. And that's why it's so important for us to read, so important for us to study, so important for us to fellowship. So we can fully understand who God is, so that way, just like Jesus says, Father, not my will be done, but let yours. You see, folks, when you do that, you see things different. Which comes to the fifth word in prayer, which is E, which stands for evangelizing. I'm no evangelist, Jim. Who are you kidding, man? You want to know something, my friends? All of you are evangelists. All of you is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of you are ambassadors to Jesus Christ. All of you are fulfilling the Great Commission. See? So, we, in our prayers, we should be evangelizing. How so? Look what James says this in chapter 5, verse 16. Very clear. And like I told you, I was going to back all this up with scriptures. So James chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now take that to the bank, my friends, because again, James puts it out there. He says, look, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Great power. Power in prayers. And knowing this, our prayers can reach around the world to touch missionaries, loved ones, friends, and yes, even the unsaved. Like I said, I pray for all you every morning. I pray for missionaries. I pray for our government, world governments. I pray for Israel. I pray for all the lost souls. I pray for many people in the churches. Because as I just said here, because again, you know, our prayers can reach around the world and it can reach all these people. Because the prayer of faith is effective both near and far to sustain, save, and secure. Prayer can do that. Prayer can do that. Why do I know this? I have seen it. I'm sure you have yourself. We can probably sit here one day and talk about all the prayers we prayed all our lives in knowing Christ, and we've seen a lot of them answered and done. I have. The sixth word in prayer, which is R, which is for rejoicing. Rejoicing. Bet you hadn't thought about that one in prayer, huh? And how did I find this out? As the Holy Spirit always does, He leads you to the passages you need to see. Look what it says in John chapter 16, verse 24. And I love this one, folks. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. He was telling that to the disciples, but that's also applying to us readers today. He says now that, hey, you have not asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Wonderful words. Wonderful words. And what Jesus is telling us here, and I love this, rejoicing comes with the anticipation of answered prayers. Are you rejoicing when you are praying? Or do you have a bunch of doubts or bummed out or whatever? Well, God, well, if you start talking, well, if you would just do this, but, you know, if you could do that, well, you know, I'm not sure that you're really hearing me. Where's the rejoicing in that? Folks, we should pray with rejoicing in our hearts that the prayers are going to be answered. Now, it's based on His timing, not ours. But see, rejoicing comes, folks, to us with anticipation of those prayers being answered. It is an act of faith preceding the answer. The believer's joy will be related to answered prayer and full supply of heavenly blessings for everything consistent with the purpose of the Lord in one's life. You see this? The believer's joy will be related to the answered prayer and full supply of heavenly blessings for everything consistent with the purpose of the Lord in one's life. And Jesus maintained that His obedience to the Father was the basis of His joy, and also the believers who are obedient to His commandments will experience the same exact joy. Rejoicing comes with the anticipation of answered prayer. You get this? Rejoicing comes with the anticipation of answered prayers. Again, it's by His timing, His ways, not ours. Remember that. And remember this, it is an act of faith preceding the answer. It is an act of faith preceding the answer. And with this joy, you and I, we must praise the Lord after our prayers are answered. How many of you praise the Lord once your prayer is answered? I slipped in that a lot. When I knew the prayers was answered, did I praise the Lord for it? Half the time, I didn't. When I realized, you know, in my prayer life, you know what? I was not doing what I should be doing because a lot of prayers have been answered and I didn't praise Him. I remember to do so now. You see, folks, God is worthy of our praises all the time. Do you praise Him in good times? Or how about this? Do you also praise Him in bad times? Many were praised in good times, but boy, when bad times hit, where's the praises then? I told that to one lady who was here in this room. She almost got a little bit bent at me when I told her, you know what, we need to praise God continuously, good times and bad times. She said, well, how can you say that? No one feels like praising, you know, God in bad times. Well, I know we don't, but we should. We should praise Him for the afflictions that we face. We should praise Him for the troubles that we face. We should praise Him for the trials that we face. James tells us we should count it all joys whenever we are facing various trials. Now, I know sometimes that's easier than said than done. You mean I'm supposed to count it all joy when everything just seems like it's coming apart in my life? Yes! Because God wants to see where your heart really is. God's worthy of our praises consistently, all the time. Not sometimes, all. I'm still working on that, folks. I'm still working on it. He's changing me. He's showing me a lot of things, especially in light when my wife, when she just went through. You think I was praising God during that time? Man, look, I was like a fraidy rabbit, you know, going all coming on glue. And like, God, I don't understand this, you know. My poor wife loves you. She's done everything for you. She wouldn't hurt a fly on a wall. And yet, you know, and all of a sudden she's been hit with this affliction. And I had to step back and say, oh, man, you know what? Okay, sorry, God. Thank you for allowing this to happen. And some good come out of this. See, we don't look at it like that, but good comes out of everything. And you might want to sit there and argue with me and debate with me. Well, Jim, I don't see it that way, because how can you say good comes out of bad things? Well, it does. God has a plan for everything. So we should praise him all the time, not sometimes, folks. We should praise him all the time. So with this, in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. What do we learn from prayer? I hope you learned something tonight, a little bit tonight. And if you're like me, look, yes, I do go back and listen to my message, because sometimes I need to sit there without preaching to you, because I could just sit here in my calmness with my coffee or my little soda or whatever. I'll listen to it and let it feed me. And sometimes I hear things, you know, that I didn't hear during preaching the message. But what do we learn from prayer? It's prevailing, requesting, accepting, yielding, evangelizing, and rejoicing. And in this process, we learn that prayer is work. It takes an effort to pray. Prayer is necessary. And most important, prayer, listen to this carefully. Most important, prayer is not for God. No, it's not. It's for us. Prayer is for us. Friends, look, let me explain this real quick. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do 5 minutes from now. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow, if tomorrow comes. God is all-knowing God. That's why the prayer is not for God. No. Prayer is for us. Because he knows what you and I want and need. He knows. He knows. But we need to know the purpose of prayer is actually not to make God aware of our needs, but to remind you and I. Let me repeat this. Prayer is actually not to make God aware of our needs. It is to remind you and I that we depend upon God for providing everything we need. As I just read in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God already knows what you need, folks. God already knows what you want. God already knows your desires. But the prayer is not for him. It's for you. To deepen your relationship with him. Because what that does, and this is the beauty part of prayer, it helps us to foster humility, humbleness, and continuously to push us away from those tendencies to feed ourselves. You get that? Prayer. And I'm talking about heartfelt prayers. It fosters us to learn true humility. And what that does, it helps continuously push us away from self. We know that God graciously gives good things even to those who hates him. Here's the climactic conclusion of this message. God does give good things to those who even hates him. We know the passage, I should have added that in here, that God rains on the just and the unjust, both ways. Prayers is not restricted just to his chosen people. He gives blessings of rain, again, like I said, to the just and to the unjust alike. Wicked people, people who mock him every day, deny his existence, still get to enjoy the good weather, good food, the love of their family, and many other great things. So, with all of this that I have learned in prepping for this, all that I have learned in this process, are you ready for this? It was an eye-opener for me when studying. God does not withhold all blessings until a person comes to him in repentance and faith in Christ. He does not withhold all blessings till a person comes to him in faith in Christ. He does not. God is generous with his enemies, then we should be as well. Now, why do I say this? Because again, I'm not going to be the one to tell you this, but this is what God does. This is how he operates. But when I say he does not withhold all blessings until a person comes to repentance, if that be the case, then I should be dead right now. I should be dead. Many times I come close to near death, and I prayed. And God answered those prayers. Yes, I was a sinner and prayed, and yet God answered the prayers. I'm living proof because I'm alive today because of those prayers. God reigns on the just and the unjust. Sometimes us Christians, we feel like we want to be an exclusive only club that, hey, God's not going to answer your prayer because you ain't serving Jesus. I am. You see, folks, when we talk and think like that, that's selfishness. That is pride. That is arrogance. God is God. God will do what God wants to do. It's not up to us to tell God what to do and not to do. Does God answer all the prayers? I don't know. Does he hear him? Yes, he does. So if God is so generous with the enemies, and this may be a mind blower for you, so should we. And I was like that one time, folks. You know, there were some people, I didn't want to even want to lift a finger to help. God showed me otherwise. Love your enemies. Love them as you would love yourself. When you start thinking that way and start praying that way, I guarantee you, you're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see a change in your attitude. Big time. You will. So the five words that we learned on prayer, which I just mentioned, we also learn this in prayer, and you're going to find the five truths in prayer. Truth number one, you never run out of things to say. Truth one. Truth number two, you pray about things you want about each day, but in new ways each time. Truth three, your mind won't wander as often when you develop a healthy prayer life, a focused prayer life. Your mind will not wander. Sometimes it drifts, but it will not wander. Truth four, your prayers will conform more to scriptures and God's will than yours. That's an important one there. And the fifth truth in prayers, you frequently experience prayer for what it actually is. A real conversation with a real person. That's what prayer really is, a real conversation with a real person. Friends, prayer should be a vital part of your daily life. In prayer, you should come to God to either praise Him, thank Him, worship Him, seek Him, seek His help, and trust in Him. That's what you should be doing. Regardless of what you're facing in life right now, regardless of how your world is getting turned upside down, regardless of the circumstances you're facing, regardless of the difficulties you are living, you should constantly praise Him and thank Him and worship Him and seek His help and trust in Him. It's difficult, yes, but not impossible. And when you do these things, you, my friends, will have a better understanding of what real prayer life is really all about. And then you will know with peace and joy what prayer is. Because again, in accordance to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, look what it says. That sums it all up right there. Look what he tells us. Look what the word tells us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen.